Hey there, welcome back to Thin Line Believers. This week, I'm going to talk about John chapter 4. And I'm going to kind of read through it here first, but I'm going to read through it out of the Message, because I like the way the Message talks about this, and it makes it just a little bit easier to follow, especially when, you know, you're trying to follow along with somebody like me, who may not be the greatest or most enthusiastic reader. So we're going to go ahead and start here in John chapter 4. And I'm going to bump ahead here just a little bit. And I'm actually going to start in verse 4. I'll just tell you that Jesus is actually headed to Galilee. But in order to get there, he's going to go through a place called Samaria. Now, normally, a Jew would actually go around Samaria, which added quite a bit of distance to their trip. But the reason for that is because most Jews really had a deep hatred for Samaritans. And I know you hear, you know, good Samaritan law and all this other stuff, and we can talk about that another time. But for a Jew, Samaritans represented basically impurity in the Jewish line. Okay, so in Old Testament days, the Samaritans were basically these Jewish people, and they intermarried with locals and didn't keep the Jewish bloodline Jewish, 100% Jewish. And so the Jews who did considered the Samaritans to be much less than them, even less than the Gentiles, which is pretty low in their opinion, because they figured that the Gentiles were only created to keep the fire of hell hot. So anyway, here we are, verse 4. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. So here's Jesus, essentially by himself, until the Samaritan comes up, the Samaritan woman, at noon. Now, I think it's important that they point out that it's at noon here, because most women, the majority of women, would come up to the well to collect the water earlier in the day to avoid the heat of the day, right? But here's this woman coming up by herself at noon. And it's, as we'll see as we go along here, it's because I believe she was an outcast of the Samaritans. So here's this woman who's an outcast of the outcast. So, getting back into it, the Samaritan woman, taking back, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" And it says parenthetically here, Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Kind of like we already talked about. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I don't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." So, as is usually the case, or often the case, when Jesus talks to people, he speaks in a certain way that people don't necessarily understand what he's talking about. And in this case, we can see clearly that this woman thinks that he's talking about actual water. when actually, as is often the case in the Bible, water representing the Spirit, Jesus is talking about filling her with the Spirit and providing her with this water that springs up with life. And in a different translation, he calls it living water. He says, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So getting back to it here, Jesus says, go call your husband and then come back. And the woman responds, I have no husband. That's nicely put, Jesus said, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this, the woman said. Our ancestors worshipped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right? So it's kind of an interesting progression here. So first she just thinks this is some guy sitting at the well. Now she thinks he's a prophet. And so because she thinks he's a prophet, she wants to get into a theological conversation. And I think that we kind of get stuck in this trap as well. A lot of times, you know, I'll see somebody that, oh, so you're a pastor. Okay, let's talk theology here. Instead of, you know, the root of the issue here is the root of what Jesus is saying is come to me and you'll receive the Spirit. You'll receive eternal life. And instead she wants to talk about, well, you know, where should we worship? You Jews say you worship there. We say we worship here. And the response here is excellent. So Jesus says, believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at the mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming. It has, in fact, come when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that will count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. The woman said, I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story. I am he, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. So, I love throughout the Bible that Jesus goes to those who aren't the highly esteemed among society. He doesn't go to the ones who's the rabbi and rub elbows with them, or he doesn't go to kings and say, you know, you're the guy that we want in the kingdom. And we have a tendency to do this ourselves. We want to be with the guy who's financially well off, the rich guy. We want to be buddies with the famous guy. We want to be whatever. We want to be friends with the people who are held in high esteem. But that's not the way Jesus worked. And the Bible says that the first will be last and the last will be first. So here we see Jesus going to this woman who's had five husbands, and now she's living with someone who she's not even married to. But Jesus doesn't point that out to condemn her, but actually he points that out to say, I know you, and I call you as you are. And so the reason I really wanted to get into this word today, this word in particular, is because Jesus comes to us In Revelation, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking. And whoever opens that door and lets me in and sits down to eat with me, I will eat with them." It says that Jesus is the one that stands at the door and knocks. Not the other way around. So it's not us that have to seek Jesus. It's not us that has to clean up our lives and then go after Jesus. Jesus comes after us as we are. And I think a lot of times we miss that. Depending on what your background is, a lot of different branches of Christianity, they really push legalism, or just, you know, you need to clean up your life. You need to stop sinning. You need to repent. You need to do all this stuff before you can come to Jesus. Now, yeah, the Bible does say to repent, but it's Jesus who's coming after us, and he's coming after us just as we are, even before we have repented. Nothing in this story says that this woman has repented from her lifestyle. Not even a little bit, not in the least. Jesus comes after her just like she is. So let's continue on here just a little bit, because I think it gets just a little bit better. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of a woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. I think that we can be either one of these types of people. We can be those who say, "What are you doing sharing the word with that person?" And then we're guilty of being just like these disciples, judging people by what they look like and saying, you know, those people don't belong in the kingdom of God. What are you doing sharing the gospel with them? As an example, a friend of mine shared his faith with someone who was going to jail. And this happens a lot. And you could look at that and you could say, well, that, what are you doing? That guy's a criminal. He's going to jail. Or you could look at that and say, here's a guy who needs the Lord just as much as I do. And so where the disciples were confused in that they still had that mindset that they were raised up with, that somehow the Jews were better than these people. But that's not what Jesus is teaching. So here, continuing on, back in the village, this woman told the people, "Come and see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went to see for themselves. In the meantime, the disciples pressed him, "Rabbi, eat. Aren't you going to eat?" He told them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." The disciples were puzzled. Who could have brought him food? Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started." As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. The Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester, triumphant. So as is the case oftentimes in the New Testament, they talk about sharing our faith. They compare it to sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping. So, here in this case, Jesus knows when someone is ready. Jesus knows when they're ready to receive the word, when it's been sown into them. He knows when it's time to reap. And he doesn't wait. He doesn't wait for this person to clean up their life. He doesn't wait for them to follow a program to get them out of sin. He doesn't wait for them to stop this addiction. That's not how Jesus is. And he doesn't wait for the person who says, you know what, I'm in my first marriage and I don't have any sin. You know, that's not who Jesus is necessarily looking for. At least not in the New Testament. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in my first marriage and I plan to keep it that way. Okay. But I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. And Jesus came to me. Now, sometimes Jesus has to allow us to go through some hard times in order for us to realize that we need him. And he's going to allow that. And sometimes, like with my case, the more stubborn you are, the more junk you might have to go through until you realize that what you needed all along was Jesus. But that, I just want to share with especially first responders and those in law enforcement, especially those who aren't on their first marriage, who are on their second or third or whatever, or who may be living with somebody and they're not married to them, that even though the Bible says that divorce and remarriage is adultery, it doesn't say that you continue in adultery. It says that you have committed. And then you move on. Even though the Bible says that you're not supposed to live with someone before you marry to them, that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't seeking you. It doesn't mean that you're not welcome to come to church. And it doesn't mean that you are too filthy to be a Christian. Well, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean that we have it all together. Being a Christian just means that we know who does. And that we follow one who died for us. Who took our sin and died for us. And then as proof of his deity, he rose again. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And he rose again from the grave. So I don't want to drag this on too long. But that's what I wanted to talk about this week. Especially given the fact that so many of us feel like we're too filthy to come to Jesus. Or that we have to live this certain way before we can come to a saving knowledge of who he is. That's not the case. When I became a born again Christian, when I was saved, I came as I was, a filthy, rotten sinner. And since that time, God's been working in me. He's been working in me to change me, to convict me when I'm sinning, but not to condemn me. That's not what Jesus is here for. That's not what he came to do. He came to save the world. Not to condemn it. And so, I just wanted to speak some encouragement into you folks this week. We're still working on getting some guests on here. It's just a matter of scheduling, usually. But we'll get some people on here so that you can listen to more than just me and Steve. I know conversations are a little more entertaining Sometimes it's not necessarily entertainment that we need, but we can still find some truth in some conversation. So God bless, and please keep Steve in your prayer. He's got a knee surgery coming up, so we're gonna agree in prayer for him, for healing and for some strength back in that knee. Contact us if you have any questions, anything you want to talk about, prayer requests. You know the deal. We're on Instagram, Thin Line Believers. Apparently, Steve is working on getting us on Facebook. So hopefully that'll be coming here pretty quick. All right, take care.